The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Tier with my very talented friend, host, and co-host, Liz DeMoise. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic.
Welcome to the podcast about midlife for all the grown-up former gifted kids who now hear all the popular music from their high school years on the overhead speakers at Whole Foods.
You know, we don't have a Whole Foods here, but we have it's a food city. It used to be a Winn-Dixie. It just got bought out, and they were playing basically everything from my high school and college years the other day. So if you've ever heard a favorite song from high school played on the oldie station or classic rock and felt shocked, drop it in the comments or DM us. We might read a few on the air next episode. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
You know, but other than getting screamed at for a full hour in a car, pretty good.
Ooh, pretty good. Spicy class today, or was it just
tired, exhausted? He wanted to play on the trampoline with every therapist that he saw today in ABA therapy, and they let him play on the trampoline.
So
and he wore himself out.
He was so tired. He was upset that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did he nap hard when he got home, or was he fighting the nap?
No. He is still currently fighting his dad, who is getting him down. Jacob, thank you.
Oh, well. I always thought that was cute until I got stuck with doing that one time. Like, oh, they're fighting sleep. So, man, that is rough. And you're just like, if you'll go to sleep, it'll feel so much better. It'll help you. See, with cats,
exactly.
When I have a cat, it's real easy. I just start petting between the eyes. They'll shut their eyes and they'll fall asleep. Did that with Socko, did that with Kofi, did with all my kittens. They'd fall asleep like that.
That actually works when they're babies.
I did not know that.
Except you take like a tissue or something and you just kind of like just keep stroking their forehead with it with like that feather-like touch.
Uh-huh.
And eventually they go down.
Oh, I've learned something new today.
Once they get older, not so much. Not so much. Yep.
Let's start off. We've been doing open and warm-up questions. What was the most gifted kid thing you ever asked for on your birthday? Like the present that really screamed future Gator podcast host. I was always a nerd for comic books. I would ask for comic books all the time. I loved comic books. I would get different video games. I was all about like the nerdy stuff like that. Comic books and video games, action figures. I remember my parents or Santa, for those who still believe, would do themes. Like one year I had over 50 Ninja Turtles action figures. One year I had all the Zords and pretty much every monster of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Had an X-Men Christmas, had DC Superpowers when I was a little kid. I loved action figures. So big time action figures, big time comic books. And then as I got older, became video games. So my favorite Christmas memory, I got a Nintendo 64 for my birthday, my sophomore year of high school. And this is 98. So I got that, and I really wanted Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, which I think is the greatest video game ever made. But my mom, on Christmas morning, gave me a card and she said they were sold out at Toys R Us. We went to Walmart. We went everywhere. They were sold out. But Toys R Us said they were getting a shipment in December 26th. We will go there first thing in the morning and buy it before we head to her family's Christmas party. And they did it the day after Christmas. And she says, I know you want to play it. So when we get home, you can stay up as late as you want playing the video game. So I behaved, was really good, was really anxious, really wanted to play my video game, but I was really good at the family function. I get home, I played it till about 5 or 6 in the morning, and it was part of the deal. She let me do it. She let me stay up, and I played it, and it is one of my favorite memories playing that video game. So definitely, I'm going to say that is probably my most Gator podcast host moment. Getting a video game, being allowed to play till 6 in the morning. For my Christmas present, which I know you asked for birthday, but still that was definitely my most,
if they count. Yeah. They both count. Christmas, birthday. It's November. We're close enough to December. I mean, we're already hearing Mariah Carey on the radio.
She came out of hibernation November 1st.
Yes, she did. God, how much longer do we have to endure it? Anyway. You know, I didn't really get a whole lot of them as a kid. I would say probably I didn't really ask for this, but I got it. It was a package of the World Book Encyclopedias. And everybody was horrified when I sat down and just started reading them, like at the beginning of the book.
You started at A and went all the way through Z?
Yes.
Nice.
I went all the way through reading it like I was reading, you know, Chronicles of Narnia, or like I was reading Little House on the Prairie.
Now, here's the thing I need to...
Or Little House in the Big Woods, I should say.
When you got to the point of the human body, did it have the layered where it was like a completely nude, and then you could move the
layered,
the film sheet, and it'd be like, here's the muscles. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that. And at first, you know, my grandmother was like, oh no, there's a naked man. And then my mom had to point out, you know that she's been reading your nursing textbooks. So this is nothing new for her. But as far as like something I actually asked for, when Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, I wanted to go see that opening night, or like the Thursday before opening night at the midnight show. Mm-hmm. And I had like arranged with work to get the next Friday off and everything. And I had worked a double that day. So I like worked my double at the school where I was teaching cosmetology from, I was doing the skincare. I was doing the cosmetology program in the day, skincare in the evening. And so basically I was talking for 12 hours straight, and then went over to Point Orlando, because Point Orlando was where they had the big, like the real IMAX. That's like massive screen, not just, oh, we have the sound system. This is technically an IMAX. No, this was like the enormous screen, because that's what I wanted to see it on. And I dragged my mom and my stepdad and my nephew with me. But, you know, my nephew's not going to complain. Bob, I think, fell asleep halfway through. He turned his hearing aids off. yeah.
Did you get the dead center seat so that way everything was perfect ratio?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. 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 Yes.
I had never...
Towards the middle...
I had never been to a IMAX movie. Like we have the dome here at the McWayne Center, which is okay, but you got to look up the whole time. And then the one time we went to an IMAX theater on a field trip was in Chattanooga, and it was a true IMAX, and that was really cool, but it was a nature film. And then the Hoover AMC has mini IMAX. It's not the full ratio and everything, but I had never seen a movie in that. And one of my friends, Rebecca Johnson, shout out Supergirl Radio, great podcast about all things Supergirl. She took me to go see Batman or The Dark Knight. What's the last one? Rises.
The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, I saw that one in IMAX.
And I saw it, and it was amazing. It was so cool. The opening scene with Bane and the in the airplane. Seeing that was glorious. So cool.
Yeah,
that's the only one of the three I like. I was so mad at Batman Begins because the finale with Ra's al Ghul. All right, so you're telling me the device can penetrate cast iron pipes to turn water into vapor and light the powder, but them fighting right next to it does nothing to their bodies when you're 70% water?
Yes, that was a plot hole. Yeah.
I couldn't enjoy the movie because of that. I was in it until we did to that point, and I'm like, what? No. You're all about this realism, and then you do this stupid thing? So that ruined that. And then I really thought the Joker was okay. I didn't think it was that great a performance. I just think people over-exaggerated it because Heath Ledger died, and it's his last role. Well, last complete role, because he didn't film all of the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah.
Because he got halfway through that, and they had to fill in with other people. But that was the only one, The Dark Knight Rises. And I thought Bane was really well done, even though you could barely understand him sometimes.
I like that trilogy. But when I looked at it, I knew about the water thing, and I was just like, I'll give him a pass on this because I loved seeing Cillian Murphy as the Scarecrow and, Ra's al Ghul. I mean, come on, Liam Neeson, the guy can do anything. I mean, come on. And then it's like with the Dark Knight, I loved Heath Ledger's part. But my thing about it was I went in with the mindset that the Joker was a former military person who was working through like some PTSD demons or something.
Yeah.
Or had like a mental break. Because he had a few lines that, talked about what happens in war and things like that. And it's like, huh, really?
I could see that he was a former, I've seen that theory that he's a former military guy, which is why he was so good with weapons and explosives and.
Yes.
And everything.
And the tactical stuff. And, it just kind of broke his mind. It was different from the, I fell in chemicals and now I'm. Crazy.
I think that kind of keeping him mysterious really did help with his origin story. So I like that. But anyway,
and of course we have Gary Oldman. Come on.
He was great. I thought he was a very good Commissioner Gordon. But,
Gary Oldman is good in everything.
We could talk about comic book movies all day in Star Wars. But tell us your most gifted kid gift you ever got on our socials at Gator Official on Instagram and Threads. That's Gater Official on Instagram and Threads. We'll pick one to shout out next week. Previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, we talked about that moment when you realize there are no more grades in adult life and a good job is just silently not getting fired.
We dove in the mall world, those weird liminal mall dreams everyone's having and how they mash up nostalgia, anxiety, and bad food court lighting. David talked about his mall world meets theme park dreams.
Liz shared her recurring toilet world and spa locker room nightmares, including accidentally walking in on a very naked, very famous man who she said lived up to the billing. He was nothing to be, he had nothing to be ashamed about.
Yeah, but I'm still not naming names. We hit midlife hobbies like shrimp tanks, MST3K box sets, language apps, and writing monster smut instead of buying a Corvette.
And we close with comfort food confessions from hummus and garlic overlord and why I would be the person to keep everyone around me safe should there ever be a vampire apocalypse to Liz's lifelong quest to recreate 90s yakitori house teriyaki chicken and ginger rice.
What was your favorite part of our last episode? Drop your favorite moment at Gator Official on IG or Threads.
All right, let's kick things off with our best birthday memories as both a child and as an adult, because things change as we get older and how we celebrate certainly can. My favorite memory, it had to be my X-Men birthday party. I want to say it was either fifth grade or sixth grade at the Marriott World Center in Orlando. Yeah. We rented out.
That was pretty epic.
We rented out the pool, so we swam for a little bit, and then we had basically unlimited quarters. And I was Wolverine mm-hmm. on the X-Men game. I forget who you were.
I was either Dazzler or Storm.
I think you were Storm.
I used to play either Dazzler or Storm all the time.
But I just remember we filled up all six spots. We had unlimited quarters, and we played the heck out of it. We beat it. We finally beat Magneto.
Yes, we did.
And
it took a long time. We did it.
But I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. And when PS3 back in the PlayStation store had a sale on X-Men, the arcade game, I bought it. The reason I still have my PS3 around and haven't gotten rid of it is because it has that in the Simpsons arcade game. It's got both of those games on there, and you can just play as much.
They had both those at the Marriott. Yeah.
Those were so much fun playing that. And then the Terminator 2 game, that was an amazing birthday for me. I want to say fifth or sixth grade. It was just so much fun. I got a bunch of X-Men swag and just absolutely loved it. As an adult, my favorite birthday, it's difficult because when I turned 25, I started having two birthdays because my parents got divorced during 2024 and 25. So it was just really difficult because I would never have both my parents there together for a birthday party. And I kind of missed that. That was something I really loved and I took for granted. I took for granted as a child. And probably my favorite birthday as an adult was the first one I had with Lila when I was 25, because it was really difficult for me because my parents officially got divorced in 2007. They separated in 06 and they officially got divorced in 07. And I turned 25 and I did birthday with my dad, birthday with my mom, and Lila was so supportive and sweet and absolutely 100% my rock getting through my first really difficult birthday with having to do two birthdays. And she did a great job. It was her first year we were married and she just was amazing. And I absolutely knew she was the one because of how awesome she was and how helpful she was and how much of a rock she was for me. So, those are my two favorite.
I have to agree on the times we did the Marriott World Center, because I know I did the Marriott for my birthday. I forget if it was two or three times. I know I did for third grade. Fourth grade and fifth grade. Sixth grade, I forget what I did.
I think that was Busch Gardens. It was either sixth grade or seventh grade was Busch Gardens.
Sixth grade was Busch Gardens because you were at Beaumont with the Esposito girls.
Yes.
And I was at Neptune with Brian and Ron. And it was like our first time like really getting to hang out together in a while.
And I remember we played Truth or Dare in the back, and I got you to take your bra off. Your mom's like, put that back on. We're sixth grade. She didn't take her shirt off or anything. She did the cool trick that women can do with like able to get underneath and pull it all off without.
Yeah.
And your mom got so mad and she's trying to drive and she's yelling at you to put it back on. And I also remember she tried to get us the handicap parking and she's like, y'all need to act like you're retarded. I know we're not supposed to say that word, but she said we should all act like we're retarded so we can get the special. So we're all acting like stuff in the back. And it was just shenanigans. And
I have to say, definitely Busch Gardens is up there too. Oh my God.
We had so much fun. And then we rode all the roller coasters and it was just a magical, goofy time. And then we got the Espositos were from New York, and Ron was from New York. And then me and I think
the Civil War
discussion. And you're just like, guys, because it started in the car, and then when your mom, wherever we went for dinner, it carried over into there, and you were just so sick of it, and you were just trying to be a peacemaker during the whole ordeal.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we know. And then finally, I think I said something. Well, you know, it was the war of northern aggression, and it's happening again. Because my dad had taken me to, like, this. Because, you know, my dad is, he's a Civil War historian. That's, like, his, like, special interest, that and World War II. And my dad had taken me to several lectures because he thought I would enjoy them. Spoiler alert, I did not, but I still absorbed everything. And, you know, we're down there in Tifton, Georgia, and they're giving these lectures, and turns out they're calling it the War of Northern Aggression. Yeah, that's about what it was like in the backseat. Everyone's like fighting with each other, and I'm just like, oh God, you're going to make her turn around and everyone get out of the car. As an adult, I would say probably my 30th, though, because that party, my 29th was a buzzkill, because I had moved to Kentucky because I was with someone who was up there in Kentucky, and my dad had also had a stroke, and I'm my dad's only kid, so I wanted to make sure he was okay. And, you know, my mom has always had people around her, or at least she did down at that point. But I was genuinely concerned about my dad, because, like I said, I'm his only kid, and I wanted to know what was going on. And things were getting serious with this guy. So I went back to Kentucky, and I was up there for maybe 2 months, and then he dumped me on my birthday. Ooh. So 29 was a buzzkill. On the other hand, 30. I had moved back to Orlando that June. Was it June or July? It was June or July. And I was really on an upswing. I was doing very good. I had my jobs back. I was making very good money. And I decided for my 30th birthday, we were going to basically have the bachelorette party that I didn't have when I was younger and I got married the first time. So Dorian, my best friend, and I started in, it was like late July, and we went to every single brown bag program in the greater Orlando Kissimmee area where they would like hand out free condoms. Because we bought a giant weenie-shaped pinata, and we were going to fill the pinata with condoms. And we were going to break it open at the party.
Wow.
And then we also, and right about that time, Magic Mike came out too, so we were like, oh, and we need to get a male stripper too for the party. So, we had the pinata. We had just about every weenie-shaped thing you could imagine. We had, like, the plastic knives, forks, straws. We had little whistles. We had little, like, you know, party, like, blowers. Like, the things you blow and they, like, you know, the things you, like, blow them and they, like, they blow up and they go out. I forget what they call them. They're not, like, streamers. But they're the things you blow into.
I know what you're talking about.
Those. Weenie shaped. We had.
Did you have the penis gummies?
Yes, we did. We had gummies. We had streamers that were like Schmeckel shaped, like all around my apartment. We had little bits of confetti everywhere. We had a pin the pecker on the stud game, like over in the corner. We had a pecker ring toss. We had a Charlie Sheen blow-up doll. And then there was the food, because, you know, whenever I have a party, I put my foot into it.
You do.
So we had cocktail weenies with, like, a sweet and sour sauce. We had, like, meatballs with, like, a cream sauce. And then we had, oh my God, we are really going to be pushing, pushing appropriateness on this one. Let's see. We also had the giant weenie shaped Rice Krispie treat that had very strategic placed white chocolate on it and chocolate shavings down in the testicular region. And then we had a giant, what could only be described as a Twinkie that was filled with homemade cream and had sweetened condensed milk.
Nice.
In strategic places. And then we had like little cookies that were shaped that way and little to-go bags for anybody who wanted to take their goodies to go. And my creation that I came up with were little cone cakes that looked like fleshlights. And I did like strawberry cake mix, so they were pink. And I used pink ice cream cones. And then we put like peach colored frosting. I just like took vanilla frosting and made it like skin toned.
Nice.
And then we decorated them to look anatomically correct, so to speak. This party was one for the books, and the entire night was just sheer insanity. But I have to say the prep for it was the most fun. That was where the magic happened. That last trip that Dorian and I were taking to Walmart right before we had the party, my grandmother, we had met over at my house, and my mom had said, Grandma has a list for you. Go see what Grandma wants you to get if you're going to Walmart. And I was like, okay. So Dorian and I go, and we're getting cake mix, Rice Krispies, marshmallows. We're getting like the regular party napkins that don't have anything on it, just so we have backup. And we're also getting some candies. And it turns out we needed more rubbers for the pinata. So we bought a couple boxes of rubbers. And then there was the stuff on Grandma's list. Grandma needed the pens, prunes, and she also needed, my gosh, what was it? I want to say it was like witch hazel or something like that. So yeah, so Grandma was having us get prunes, the pens, and witch hazel for her. And then, so I'm checking out because I hate using self-checkout, especially if I have a lot of stuff. I'm not going to do it. So the lady's just checking us out, and then she starts getting, like, to the condoms. And she just kind of looks at both of us. And then she gets to the cake mix. She goes, so are you two having a party? And then she gets to the depends. And I say, oh, just the good old-fashioned orgy. And she's just like, oh. And we both just kind of winked at her. And then when Dorian and I got to the parking lot, we held it together, but we were both cackling by the time we got out there.
That's awesome.
It was great.
There you go. I mean, I'm so sad that I got to miss that. I'm so sad I didn't get to enjoy that. Because that sounds like an amazing, amazing time. I mean, and I know the food would be on point because I remember Lila and I came.
Well, the stripper took 3 plates home.
Of course. Your food's Rocky. Awesome. You're a great cook. Your family is amazing at cooking.
Yeah.
Your grandmother, your mom, you.
Yeah, when he came over, we were like his last group of the night. We had a bunch of food and we were like, oh, here, take stuff with you. Have a Tupperware container. Yeah. He took like 3 plates worth of stuff.
Now, did he go full Monty or was he in the Speedo?
It was a Speedo.
Okay.
But he was gorgeous. Short, but gorgeous. Little Italian guy from like New Jersey.
There you go. You didn't want the full Monty, or they don't do the full Monty in Florida?
You know, I have to say, the whole time, he was, like, doing the dance and everything, and at one point, I'm, like, laying on the floor, and he's, like, hovering, and I'm looking up, and now, also keep in mind, when I was working at this point in the salon, I was doing all the body waxing, and I was doing everything, men and women. Everyone said, you had the weirdest look on your face, and I just said, you want to know the truth? The entire time I'm laying back there staring at his crack, all I can think is, I would start over here and I would apply wax in this area first, and then I'm going to need to go to this side while that's drying and apply over here. And then I don't know what's going on in this area, but I think we're going to have to go to that one. They're like, oh my God, you were working while he was gyrating. I was like, yeah.
Tell me you have a touch of the tism without telling me you have a touch of the tism.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was your favorite birthday memory? It could be as a child or as an adult. You can tell us about it on Instagram or Threads at Gator Official. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram and Threads. All right. Now, November is Men's Mental Health Month, and a life-changing anniversary just passed for me. It's one that folks generally don't want to talk about, but it is a very serious life-changing event for me. I, on November 7th, celebrated 20 years of what my wife and I have come to call Bleep Death Day. That was my suicide attempt. I was in a very toxic relationship at the time. It was physically and mentally abusive. And I tried to kill myself. I tried to overdose on a bottle of trazodone, which I was taking for my sleeping issues at the time, and a half a handle of Jack Daniels. To this day, I cannot smell Jack Daniels or else I want to throw up, because I'm just absolutely 100%. That makes me sick to my stomach just to smell Jack Daniels. So it was rough. I drunk dialed my complicated girl at the time, who called a mutual friend to come check on me. And he did. And his name's Eric. And because of Eric, I'm alive. He asked me what happened, and I drunkenly told him, and he took me to DCH, which is Druid City Hospital. Druid City's nickname for Tuscaloosa. And they pumped my stomach with a ton of charcoal, and I vomited a ton, getting out all the pills and Jack Daniels. And I remember the nurse was talking about her new shoes, and like literally as she said that, I puked all over her new shoes. Just like, I didn't give them any warning that they needed to get a bag or anything. I just, and it was, they went in through my nose. I remember they stuck the tube down my nose and started pumping charcoal, because they were worried I'd aspirate if they put it down my throat. So I remember the feeling of something going up my nose and going down my throat. And then I just remember feeling really sick in my stomach and then bleh, everywhere. And spent a week in the Grippy Sock Motel, otherwise known as the psych ward. And my parents were very helpful. My sister was very helpful. Family was very amazing. And there's a great professor there at Alabama named Pam Doyle. She's now Pam Tran. She loved me because I was a person that put forth a ton of effort. And she ended up getting all my classes to give me incompletes for the semester so I could still graduate. I just have to go back next semester when I was in a bit better health space and finish up. And I did. And during that, I got close with my GA named Lila Engel at the time. And she and I ended up hitting it off pretty well. And she's now Lila Sears. So I'm very, very glad about that. That's, I don't think I would have been able to be as close to her, and I've had the opportunity to talk to her and get to know her as well, had I not had to start the semester over, essentially, or pick up the semester where I left off the next semester in 06. So instead of graduating December 05, I graduated May 06. But because I graduated May 06, I got to know Lila really well. And she and I started dating, and one thing led to another, and I got married to her. So it was very difficult. I was diagnosed as schizoaffective disorder. I always thought I was schizophrenic, but I'm schizoaffective because a true schizophrenic, I've learned, does not emote much, and I emote a lot. So that is part of my official diagnosis. And I didn't know this until I went to my shrink a couple weeks ago, but my official diagnosis is schizoaffective disorder with a borderline personality disorder and severe anxiety and depression. And because of that, I now know my diagnosis. I will talk about it with anyone who needs it. I've had some friends who've had some issues and gotten to the point of suicide, and I've talked to them about it and reached out to them. And
you're always very good about that.
And checking in, making sure they're okay, and shared my experiences with them so they'd know. And I'd heard voices and all that since high school. So I went through all of high school without telling anyone. Because, you know, what, back in the 90s, if you were mental illness, you basically saw One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, A Beautiful Mind. You were thinking you'd get electroshock therapy and lobotomy. And so I didn't tell people because I was worried that would happen to me. So I went through all of that alone for all of those years. And it wasn't until 2005 post-suicide attempt that I finally told and was able to open up about that. And I've had a couple of relapses. Mainly the first relapse was Christmas Eve, our first married Christmas Eve. My mother had me, my in-laws, and Lila over to do Christmas because my dad was going to come over for Christmas in Jasper, and I had run out of my medicine, and I didn't tell anyone, and I was like, oh, I can go a couple of days without it. No, you can't. So luckily the ER doc knew what was going on. She got her pharmacy to get me. She was supposed to admit me, but she ended up just getting me the meds I needed for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And she's like, you go to the pharmacy on December 26th and you get your meds. I do not want to see you in here again. And then I had another relapse in 2008 when I was doing Hydroxycut and Monster, and I was burning, my metabolism was burning through my medicine too fast. So, my body was metabolizing it too quickly. So it wasn't doing its time release like it was supposed to. I spent a night, I think one or two nights, in the psych ward to get all the hydroxy cut out of my system. And they gave me higher doses, to get it where I'd be better. And then after that, I haven't done diet pills. Still do Monster. I know Lila wishes I wouldn't, but I was like, I gotta die of something. So, yeah, it's something I've gone to therapy for. I've talked to others about mental illness. I'm very honest with my friends about it. I make jokes about it. They say my favorite Christmas carol used to be Carol of the Bells. Now it's Do You Hear What I Hear? So my parents can joke about
definitely
My parents can joke
definitely
about it now.
Humor helps break the stigma.
Yeah. My parents can talk to me about it. I think Melinda, my sister, has gotten to the point where she can talk with me about it now. But it's difficult. It's been 20 years. But I'm glad I'm still here. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got three wonderful nieces. I've got some amazing cats and, great life, great friends, great family. So I'm very fortunate to still be here.
Oh, we're definitely happy you're still around too. And, you know, it just goes to show it's important for men to talk about what's going on and not just mask their pain and avoid vulnerability.
So, all right, we've been deep in the fields for a bit, which is good and necessary, but let's come up for some air. Let's talk about a topic that's on a lighter note, something that makes all this growth and healing worth it, and that is love. And we're going to specifically talk about those first dates we've had with our spouses, the good, the bad, and the what were we thinking moments. What was your first date? I've been talking. Let's let you go. What was your first date with Jacob?
Well, I've got to give some backstory here. Jacob and I were long distance for about a year prior to us actually having our first date when he came to see me in Florida. We were both in a low carb group on Facebook, and he said Orange County in his profile. And I was thinking, oh, okay, I'm in Orange County too. Little did I know. Because he was saying things like Disneyland, and I'm thinking, okay, he's just not a Disney adult. So he doesn't really differentiate between Disneyland, Disney World. Because I would say stuff and he'd be like, what? And I'm like, oh, okay, you're just not a Disney adult. All right, that's fine. Because we were kind of friends before anything sparked between us. It was sort of like we were just friends, but then one weekend we just started like talking nonstop and just didn't shut up with each other after that. And before you know it, it's like we were just going constantly talking. But and then a year later, he comes out to see me. And so our first date was right after I picked him up from the airport in Orlando. And we went to Miller's Ale House and we got wings.
Nice.
We each got like 20 wings. Because my whole thing about first dates is get messy. Don't be afraid of it.
Wait. When you say get like, messy, do you mean like bow chicka bow bow messy? Or are you just talking?
No. I mean, you go to Four Rivers and you get the ribs. You go to Pig Floyd. And you get, like, the ribs or the big, like, spatchcock chicken. And you eat it straight off the bone. Or you get wings. And so we got wings. And his main complaint was I did not pull the flats apart to get all the gristle and everything. And all the meat that's, like, at the end of the bones. That was his only issue.
You know, I do the meat umbrella. I push it all down to one end, put it in, pop it out. What do you do?
I figure, okay, so I've done that, but I also figure if I'm going to have to sit there and work for it, it's probably going to be kind of tough.
Mm.
So I'm not going to sit there and like, you know, pick apart the bones. If it doesn't come with a good sucker, a good, you know, gnaw, I'm not going to bother with it. But, so we got wings and then we went back to my place and he saw the pool and the pool cage and thought it was a greenhouse at first. It's like, no, this is a pool cage. This keeps leaves and snakes and
alligators,
other stuff out of our pool. And then we just hung out in the pool because he had been flying since the morning and was pretty jet lagged. So that was our first date. And I remember my first impression of him was, oh my gosh, he does not have much situational awareness. Because I asked him, like, okay, so you're off the plane. Where are you at, like, in the terminal? Because in Orlando, you've got the terminal, and then you've got like the shuttle, not the shuttle, what is it, the monorail that takes you to the baggage claim in the main terminal. And he was kind of lost, and I'm like, okay, you need to look for signs for the monorail. And then finally he finds it, and I was like, all right, so which one did you come from? Because there were six. So I think I ended up going to the wrong one, and I had to tell him to, like, stay put or something so I could, like, go to the right area to meet him. But, you know, when it comes to the stuff like that, I'm pretty anal retentive. And I've come to realize he was probably a bit frustrated, too, because he's a planner. He is the quintessential airport dad. When it comes down to, like, traveling or anything like that, he's the person that has it all under control. And, you know, he's got it all planned out. He's got, like, his little binder. He's got everything in the binder. He's, like, I've never seen anyone that organized, so. But, yeah, that was our first date and first impressions, that kind of thing.
Our first date was in March of 2006. I'd been going back to finish up classes, and I really enjoyed talking to Lila. And like after I'd finish up doing an assignment, I would go to her graduate assistant office and I'd talk to her for a solid hour. I'd flirt so heavy. She didn't really catch on. So I looked her up on Facebook, found her AIM, and stalked her on AOL Instant Messenger. And then we started talking on AOL Instant Messenger. And then we started talking more in person, and I asked her on a date, but I had no money and no car. I was a scrub hanging out the side of my best friend's ride. I had no money. So I was like, hey, I want to take you on a date, but I don't have any money. She's like, okay, I'll pick you up and I'll get the movie tickets. You just buy the drinks afterwards. So she's a huge Johnny Depp fan. He had this new art house movie called The Libertine coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And it was playing at the Summit. The Summit in Birmingham is where the art house movies tend to play. They have blockbusters, but they also have the art house flicks. We knew it was rated R. We did not realize how much sex and nudity was going to be in it. Neither one of us paid attention to that. The opening scene is Johnny Depp fingering his fiance. And Lila and I just kind of look at each other and nervous laugh. Later on in the movie, there's a huge orgy in a tree. And we're just like, to each other. Because we're just like, holy cow. Oh, wow. This is, and I want to hold her hand, but now I'm like, is she going to think I'm trying to do something? So it was the worst first date movie of all time. So luckily,
I have to agree on that kind of stuff. It's like, I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I think for first dates, I would want to see something like sci-fi or action, like freaking Expendables.
Well, she liked Johnny Depp. I mean, this is during the Pirates of the Caribbean heyday for Johnny Depp. So yeah. I'm like, let's go.
I don't think anyone was expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't read, this is on me. I should have read up about it. But so we finished the movie. The movie theater is on one end of the open mall. It's an open air mall. So it's on one end. The Barnes & Noble with the Starbucks is on the other. So we get in our little RAV4. We drive down to the Starbucks at the Barnes & Noble and spend an hour just talking. And I can tell she's into me. She's nervous. She finishes her coffee, and she's just playing with the coffee cup back and forth, just keeps knocking it over. So finally, I'm starting to get annoyed with that. So I don't want to be, but I'm like, I'm into her, but I don't want to be. So I just grab the cup, move it to a side, and put my hands on her hands, and she relaxes. And
aww.
And she and I just talk, and I'm holding her hands, and we're just talking. I think when she dropped me off at my parents, I gave her a little peck on the cheek. but we immediately, I was like, hit me up on AOL so I know you got home to Tuscaloosa safely. And we immediately start talking about our next date when she gets home. And we just start talking and we stayed up till 2 a.m, AOL instant messaging. She was leaving. It was a Thursday night. She was leaving that Friday with her mom to go on a cruise for spring break. And I was 100% smitten kitten. And she was too. And she gets back from the cruise and she tells me she told her mom that she kind of has a boyfriend, but she's not sure. And she's like, do you want to be my boyfriend? And I'm like, oh yeah. So we were an official couple after one date and lots of AOL instant messaging. And she's amazing. I'm so glad she said yes. We'll talk about our engagement for another edition, but it was a whirlwind romance, but I could not imagine doing it any other way. Especially with how awesome she is and how great a wife she is, and how great a sister-in-law and daughter-in-law she is to everybody. So, she's amazing. Total love of my life. I outkicked my coverage. So, on our Gator official on Instagram or Threads, that's Gater official on Instagram or Threads. Tell us about your first date with your spouse. And just be romantic, be fun. If it was a disaster that was salvaged in the end, tell us, because first dates are always fun and exciting. So our closing question for this edition will be, if you could go back and invite any version of yourself to one of your birthdays, kid you, teen you, 20-something you, which one's showing up and what kind of chaos would they bring? I want to invite 13-year-old David to my 30th birthday, where we went to Styx and had the Japanese person cook in front of us and see how absolutely amazingly hot my wife is and how much she hates hibachi with a passion, but she did it for me because she knew how much I loved it. And I just want to show him, you get an amazing wife who loves you and has the big boobs you've always wanted as a wife. And an amazing, amazing woman that will do whatever it takes to make you happy. So it'll just get so much better. So I would love to show that to 13-year-old David, because 13-year-old David was a bit melancholic, was always thinking, oh, I'll be alone. I'll never have a happy time with a member of the opposite sex. And I would just show him how awesome a wife he had. He could look forward to.
I think, I would say 13 or 14 year old me, but looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I would have annoyed myself so much. I would say probably I would go back and I would get 22 year old me, or actually 23 year old me, because it was not exactly a good point in my life. And I'd want to show her it gets better and that you survive and that everything works out in the end.
Aww.
And if it's not worked out, then it's not the end yet.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And if you want to tell us what age you would invite yourself to your birthday party or anything like that, give us your reject story. DM us on Instagram at Gater Official. That is Gater, Gater with an E official, or tag us on Threads or Instagram so we can share it next week. Well, we've got to get out of here. So go follow our official account on Instagram and Threads, Gater Official, Gater Official on Instagram and Threads. From that link on our official Instagram account, you will find links to previous episodes, updates, and links to show you support for myself, my co-host, as a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz DeMoise Books. Liz DeMoise, D-E-M-O-I-S-E-Y, Books on both Instagram and TikTok.
I am at DavidSears75 on Twitter, at DavidSears1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I never use it. I just get videos from Liz and my wife and my cousin that send them to me. Liz, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you on Sunday. Can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
Yeah, we got to think of something.
We need to. So for Liz DeMoise, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on Tony Curry Radio. Have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.